This was something that was on my mind, and I just want you to turn there with me quickly to Isaiah chapter 40. Many of you can remember the old songs. I wrote one myself on this very same scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And it says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They shall walk," are you here today, "and not faint." Paul said in reference to those giving by faith, he challenged those New Testament believers of the early church, don't become weary in well-doing. And even though his context there had to do with giving in faith, I want you to know that's a principle that works for every area of your life. It says, don't become weary in doing the right thing in this sense, trusting that what God has said will come to pass. We're glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Now, let's read that one more time, shall we? "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You ever get tired? You ever get tired from the inside out? The Word of God tells us that if we wait on God, somebody who is waiting is somebody who is not frantic. Somebody who is waiting is somebody who's not in a hurry. Somebody who is waiting is trusting that what they're waiting for, waiting on, it's sure. They that wait upon the Lord. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not going to be trapped into... You know, the enemy does his best to push believers around and to push our buttons. And most believers live their lives reacting to the devil's ploys. One of the reasons we're taking time and spending time on this issue of faith is because faith, although it may not be the most popular subject in the church right now, faith causes us to recognize that the topic of faith helps us recognize that we have a responsibility, grace. By grace, through faith, are we saved, and by grace, through faith, we live every day. It's responsibility, the ability to respond to God's great grace. Are you here this morning? And the devil will try to flip that around and cause us to live our lives in such a way that we are always reacting to the devil. Let me give an example. It's not been that long ago. 6-8 years ago, Jackie and I had a wonderful, and I'll spare you the testimony of how we wound up here in Chino Valley, miraculous in every sense of the word. Some of you have heard that testimony. And when I say miraculous, I'm not kidding. It's impossible, but for God. But one of the things that we had really worked hard on was getting out of debt. And we had gotten out of debt to be able to make the move and make some adjustments that we needed to make, we felt, in order to go in the direction that God wanted us to do. And it's a wonderful thing, let me tell you, to be out of debt. If you're not out of debt, how many know that you can be? And you can trust God and believe God, get out of debt. No longer be a slave to anybody else. What a freedom that is. Well, in moving out here, for a number of reasons, we'd gotten back into debt a little bit, and it wasn't much, but we made a decision. We are going to get completely out of debt again, get every credit card paid down, negotiate, got some help, do some things so that we are free to do what it is that God wants us to do without the hampering of debt. And of course, we got a hold of Scripture. How many know there's a lot of Scripture that speaks about debt? Talks about money management. We don't have to live under that strain and pressure. More marriages are destroyed over finances than any other single issue. And to live under that strain, how many know that is not God's will? In fact, the part of the promise is for the believer is that we would lend. We would be the lender, not the borrower. And that we should owe no man anything but to love them. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to hold a note on a house. It doesn't mean that you can't ever, ever, ever use the system. But living under the strain of debt is not God's plan. And I see so many people that could not in younger years, I mean, you know, anything they wanted, anything they laid their beady little eyes on, that credit card, cha-ching, 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 and they lived in a house full of stuff that didn't really belong to them, and then the pressure came. And I'm so glad for the truth of God's word that can help us get out of that. Now, one of the things that happened as a result, we begin to believe God, we begin to trust God, we begin to trust God for the right kind of employment. And I made, as a result of that, God put together some things. I'll again spare. I made more money in the middle of what was the beginning of a recession, in the middle of a lot of impossibilities, my wife as well. We trusted God. We believed God on these principles. And I made more money than I ever made in my life. And we were able to pay off our debt in pretty much in short order. One thing I noticed when we got out of debt, though, was that every time we were able to progress, it's like last week when we were talking about healing. If God can take pain away and discomfort away and change the report on your blood or change anything else, if he can do that for 3 hours, 3 hours is just miraculous as 3 days. And yet we let, through unbelief, the enemy get in there and do some things with our head, and 3 hours... You know, next week, we're still struggling with some things. So what we want to encourage is how to walk and stand in faith in every area of our life. One of the things that I recognized was a pattern that I hadn't noticed for years because I'd become so used to living reactively in my walk with God, not understanding that I truly am blessed of God because of Jesus. How many know that we are blessed and highly favored? Come on, are you here today? Blessed and highly favored because of Jesus. Talking to somebody the other day, they said, you know, we started talking about how that God provides. And they said, well, this particular group was Thomas and I said, I've got some good friends of mine. They're good people. And I told them about what I've been learning about faith and everything and how God provides. And they said, oh, we're not into that prosperity stuff. And I said, you ought to just ask them straight up. Then who is it that prospers you then? Your own hand?
Yeah.
Who is it that prospers you? Your own hand? Or God, then you believe in prosperity. This thing of a prosperity gospel is a misnomer. I mean, though there's a bunch of knuckleheads on TV abusing the scriptural basis for God prospering us. Just because there's abuse doesn't mean, in fact, let me tell you something. Counterfeit, to me, is proof there's an original. I'm going to go back to the Word of God. I thank God that He does supply. Are you here this morning? All my needs according to His riches in glory. But it's one thing for Him to supply all my needs. It's another thing for me to live in the prophetic flow of Psalms 23 that says that my cup runs over. I had been conditioned to believe that God's provision for me was always just in time. Listen to me. Just in time and just enough to make it to the next trial. And I didn't know that I had received that into my thinking. It was a form of unbelief. I thought I was living in faith. So after we got out of debt, man, God's doing some wonderful things. It was around that time that we met Pat and Sally and got involved with Sally's Cal Country Cathedral, and we're working out in different places, and boy, the Lord was doing a bend in my heart. I didn't even understand this whole message of grace was coming into play. I was falling in love with Jesus again. First time in my life, confident before my Father. I was seeing things, and yet I was shaking in my boots because I thought, man, people are going to think I'm crazy. The church, we'd just kind of gotten it. It wasn't too long after that, the church began to go, and the Lord began to show me some things about grace. And I remember sitting on the bed in our house and saying, Lord, if I start preaching this stuff, everybody's going to leave. And I'm going to lose my house, and I'm going to lose my horses, and I'm not going to be able to do this, and I'm not going to be able to do this. And all of a sudden, I realized, you arrogant little son of a so-and-so. You just actually said in reverse a truth that is setting you free. You'd be willing to hold back on that truth for others because of your stuff. Boy, did I have a wake-up call. I said, no way. If we're living in a one-bedroom apartment, sitting on cardboard boxes, eating Chinese food, in love with each other, Jackie and I, and our kids are fed and things are taken care of, the future is still only up. Right. He'll take care like he always has. No, we're going to let the news go, and shame on me forever having even let that be a part of my thinking. Can you say amen? I mean, that's where I was at. And I said, there is no way, no compromise in that regard. So we begin our journey. Well, along about this time, I begin to realize something. That every time that God would provide extra monies, maybe a job that was unseen, or whatever it is, and it began as we were trusting and believing God, and now out of debt, there was more opportunity, and we were, you know, faith was high, and we were believing God. But every time money would come through, you know, maybe an extra job that was worth $800 or $1,000, a little side job. We'd get that and put it in the bank and rejoicing, and we're going to put that away and save towards this endeavor, whatever the case may be. And by golly, if there wasn't some kind of an emergency, and it'd be about $800. And then there'd be another little thing, there'd be $300 come through, and we'd be just, boy, that's a neat little thing. We didn't expect that, some return off something or whatever. And we'd just like, wow, praise God, this is so awesome. Within a few days, you could count on it, we had another little emergency. And guess how much it would be for? Roughly about $300. Get an income tax return, and there'd be a couple of $1,000. And we said, Lord, we'd like to do this. We've got this dream in our heart, and we've got this thing that we'd like to do. And how many know God's okay with that? And we didn't expect that was going to happen. And wouldn't you know, there's an emergency. And there's this that happens, and this that happens, and phew, it'd be gone. And we were thanking God how that God foreknew the problem was coming. And he had provided, this is our mindset. Now, I mean, oh, God does take care of us. But I began to realize, all of a sudden, it's like I woke up, the Lord turned the light on, and I realized, wait a minute. I'm living a reactionary lifestyle of faith. It's time for me to wise up and realize this is not God's plan. I'm not Israel of old bouncing around on a desert. Are you here today reacting to everything that is going? Are you here? Yeah. I've got Jesus. Something is wrong here. We got out of debt for a reason. And Jackie and I were talking. I said, we need to open our mouth. Believe in our heart and open our mouth, and we need to specifically say, no more. When the blessing comes through, the blessing stays so that we can use it for the kingdom of God or for our own dreams and ideas. How many know God gives us things for us too? Life is the opposite of death. Living, the just shall live by faith. He satisfies. This is the promise. Your mouth with good things. All through the Old Testament. We were sharing, I believe it was in men's group or Bible school. I don't remember which. But all through the Old Testament, for God to provide physical things was no big deal for God. The physical stuff doesn't mean anything to him. It's a piece of cake for him to dump on you, blessing after blessing. That for him is no big deal, because his heart desire is that you would see how good he is and enter in, seeing his love and how good he is, enter into a deeper relationship. If for him, it's all about going back to walking in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden with his prize creation. So innocent they were naked and didn't even know it. Like children saying, "Wow, Dad, that's where we started." You know that Jesus, when he died, died to redeem us. How many know what the word redeem means? Remember the old song? Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed means bought back. In other words, we went somewhere we weren't supposed to go. We went somewhere God didn't design us to go. And Jesus bought us back. This is what the Spirit of God is saying through the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, where he says, "We have been redeemed from the curse of the law." Have you ever read the curses in Deuteronomy 21 lately? It speaks of a whole lot of physical stuff that's not good. Every disease and boil and your storehouses being empty and plagues upon your fields and upon your body and right on down the line. He says, "We are redeemed from the curse of the law, Christ having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree." Amen. And then it goes on to explain that this happened so that you and I could be together with Abraham, partakers of this great life of faith through which he provides every need. But your physical stuff, his blessing on you, not just your needs, but blessing you with dreams and desires. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as we don't let those things become the main thing. Are you here today? And I recognize, wait a minute, something is wrong here. Now, you can say what you want to about this theologically. I can show it to you in Scripture. The Bible says, under the old covenant, and I'm so glad that no longer is how I relate to God. But Malachi 3 says that if you'll trust me with your money, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, this is the old law. How many know we don't need to do anything according to the law for the devourer to be rebuked for our sake anymore? For we have been redeemed from the curse of the law because of our faith in Jesus. Are you here today? I'm not saying that there isn't a place for tithe in the sense of New Covenant theology moving forward, but there is no longer any place for the curse. Are you here today? That's the Bible. But I want you to see the picture. Even under the new covenant, he said, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." He's talking about the enemy coming in, swooping in, and taking what is yours randomly. The devourer. Now in Jesus, we ought to have a better deal. How about it? This is what the Scripture says. And I began to realize what was going on. I said, "Jackie, we're going to get together and we're going to believe God. My eyes have been opened. We're not living reactively anymore. We're going to put our foot down." And we stood there in our little house over there that we were able to buy a couple of years later. We stood there and joined hands and we said, "In the name of Jesus, from now on, when the enemy blesses," I mean, when God blesses, "the enemy will not devour what he has blessed us with." The Bible speaks in Proverbs under the old covenant that storehouses, this could be, this very much is an Old Testament, old world example of your savings account. Are you here today? Now, hopefully you know that that's not your money, that everything we have is the Lord's. Are you here today? That we are blessed to be a blessing. It's not about heaping stuff to me. Paul deals with that in Galatians. Are you here today? We're blessed to be a blessing, but in the meantime, he also says in the Old Testament not to muzzle the ox that treads the corn. In the process of being a blessing, how many know we're going to be blessed? Yes. For the rest of you, be it unto you according to your faith. I said, how many want to be blessed this morning? How many know you are blessed in Jesus already? So we want to learn how to release this. I'll tell you, we got together. Let me tell you something. The difference, the change has been drastic. Listen to me what I'm telling you. The change has been drastic and final. Do you understand that the emergencies have lessened and lessened and lessened? I'm not saying that we haven't had needs. God provides that way. But those needs are no longer dictating the direction of our life. Something comes in. We stop and we say, wait a minute, devil, in Jesus, you're a liar. And from now on, there's some things that we have put before you, and we're not going to be ripped off anymore. We believe that fully with our heart. We believe we are blessed of the Lord. We are blessed to be a blessing. And no more from this day forward in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, when we said that day in our bedroom, holding hands and praying and rebuking the devourer in the name of Jesus, now under a whole new covenant, I'm telling you that from that day to this, I'm not saying that there haven't been fights, but that whole pattern was busted. How many want to bust that pattern in your life? You got to get a hold of faith. You got to get a hold of these promises and know that we can wait on the Lord. What is waiting? Waiting means I believe that what he said is true. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not frantic. I'm not worried. Isaiah 28 says, he that believeth shall not make haste. That means there is a restful confidence that what you have said is true. And I don't care what is going on right now and how bleak it may be, I believe that your word is true and we're standing, we're going to open our mouth, we're going to stand in agreement together, and devil, no more, enough is enough. Let me tell you something, that whole game stopped. I'm not saying that we have tons of money rolling in and all that. I'm saying that when God blesses, when faithfulness rewards, we're not getting ripped off with another emergency. We're able to do now the things. You know what? Now that I'm here, I'm believing God for more. Are you here? I want to be a blessing. How about you? Amen. But sometimes the enemy will lull us into a reactionary type lifestyle. And we just live reacting. Some of you are stuck way back where I started. The debt thing. Don't let the devil overwhelm you with where you may be right now in debt. God's word holds the keys for financial stewardship. God's word can help you steady Eddie, believing God. How many know, I think I mentioned this last week. I can't remember whether it was last week here or in Bible school when it was. But I'm so proud of my boy Luke. He said, Dad, he said, where I'm at, he said, one thing that is really becoming a reality. He said, I heard you and Mom. He said, I watched you live and I heard you and Mom talk about it all the time. He says, we can work hard. We can apply ourselves. We can do everything we know to do. We can put our head down and have good work ethic and make sure we show up on time. And he said, but ultimately, he said, it's that day-to-day acknowledgement of God and honoring him. And he said, every time I do that, he says, God puts together a happenstance meeting that's exactly in the direction that I'm believing him for. And he says, we can work ourselves to the bone. He said, we can do whatever, but it's God that arranges things for us if we'll trust him. My buttons were gone. He had me choked up on the phone. This is my 21-year-old boy, Luke. He said, I see that it is God who arranges divine favor. We're not to be lazy. We're to apply ourselves. Even Paul said, let him who doesn't work, let him not eat. Paul, there's nothing wrong with those good ethics, but our trust is in the Lord. As we begin to say, in Jesus' name, devil, you can't have, we right now rebuke you in this area. This thing's going to change. How many know the just shall walk by faith? Hallelujah. How many are ready to go home and say, you know what, I have buried myself in a mountain of impossibility, but I found out today that nothing is impossible for him or her that believeth. And from this day forward, there's a verse we haven't looked at for quite a while. I don't know if I'll get to my message today, but I don't care. I feel like right now there are some people that need to hear this. There is a rest in God. No franticness. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're glad for renewal of strength today. Hallelujah. The Bible says that that which was an adversary to many. Boy, that wind yesterday, trying to work on the side of my house, it was an adversary. Thomas was over there helping me. After getting beat around that old dry wind just coming across there and just blasting the side of the, and between that and the sun, after a little while, I wasn't in a good mood. It was an adversary. We got done what we needed to get done, but man, but how many know an adversary to the one who knows how to just stretch their wings out, pitch them the right way, believing in that process, will cause that which is an adversary to cause you to soar high above every problem. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. Some of you need to hear that. That's as much a physical promise to an 80-year-old as it is a spiritual promise to a 20-year-old. Are you here today? They'll rise up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. This morning, I rest. Come on, people. Cooperate with me just a moment. I arrest that fainting spirit today in Jesus' name. Some of you had great breakthrough last week, and the enemies come in like a flood. That's why I'm not going to get off this subject until you can quote some of these scriptures with me. For the just shall live by faith. We arrest that. And I thank you for strength. Come on, are you here today? Say it with me over yourself. I thank you for strength and life and light and purpose and direction and protection and provision in every sense of the word. And my haste will only get me in trouble, but my waiting causes me to soar. Hallelujah. Talking about the dry wind made me thirsty. I need a drink of water. Turn with me to Romans. This is a verse we haven't looked at in a little while. Romans chapter 5. Verse 17. Say, I'm redeemed. Bought back. Purchased by precious blood. I'm no longer my own, for I've been purchased with a price. Now hidden in God by faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood. Are you here today? The blood makes all the difference. Faith, Paul put it this way by the Spirit of God, faith in His blood. Faith in His blood causes me to overcome. Say with me today, I'm an overcomer. Some of you need to say that. I'm an overcomer. I don't react anymore. I'm going to do some dictating. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to get aggressive with this thing. Not just in church, but on Monday afternoon, when Monday is a full-blown Monday. How many know what I'm talking about? Yep. On Thursday, when Thursday is a full-blown Monday. Come on, are you here today? I'm going to start opening my mouth and saying, they that wait upon the Lord. Look at what he says in Romans 5, 17. Therefore, if by one man's offense, death rain. Joseph Prince was on TV this morning, and I'm going back and forth. Jackie's in there preparing in the bedroom, and I'm going back and forth down the hallway to my study with different things, and I overheard him say one phrase that really caught my attention. He says, you know, a lot of people think of death the way we do only in the physical world, that when your heart stops beating, you die. When your system shuts down, you die. But he said, biblically, death is this. God told Adam and Eve, you remember what he told them? As a result of sin, you shall surely die. And from that moment, not when they died, from that moment, as they lived 930 years, death already was in place. I mean, you can be alive, your heart beating, but death have rule over you, over your thinking. It should not be that way for those who are in Christ. For we have eternal life on the inside of us. Only the devil through deceit can cause you to believe that death has a right in your life. Death is not when you die. Death is a mindset and a course that the enemy imposes on the ignorant, imposes on those who don't know the Word of God, imposes on those who are lost. Are you with me? How many know that we are redeemed from death, bought back, purchased, death no longer? And I want you to look at what he says here. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned. Think about that. If by one man, that's Adam, death reigned. In other words, death in all of its process, in all of its eventual result. How many know death reigned before Jesus? Look at what it says. Much more. Can you say with me this morning? Much more. So in other words, much more than death reigned, something else is coming up for us. Much more. Much more. They which receive the abundance of grace. This is your Bible. Much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Look at what it says. Much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these shall reign. There was a time when death reigned. See, this is that example that I gave you. I didn't realize, but in that area in my life, death was reigning. An old system was imposing. And I said, wait a minute, I'm tired of this loop. How many can identify with me this morning? I said, no more. You're a liar. We're going to stand in agreement by faith according to the Word of God as the blessed of God by His grace, and we are going to receive by faith an interruption to the devourer's antics in my life. Are you here? Here's what he says. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Come on, let's stop what we're doing just for a moment, shall we, all over the room? Let's lift our hands. Jesus, we love you. Oh, it's so easy to get our eyes off of the completed work. It's so easy, like Peter, to be literally walking on water 1 minute, rejoicing. How can this be? And the next, fold into believing that the storm, the waves, are greater, but no more. Can you say with me today, no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. Say with me, I reign by one. Jesus Christ. I reign. See, that sounds blasphemous, Brother Lee. I reign. I thought Jesus reigned. No, he just told you, you reign in life. In this life, you dictate some things. Open your mouth and say no more. Say, I reign by one. Jesus Christ. How many know it's only in Him and by Him anyway? How many ready to go home and do some battle?
Yes.
In the kitchen, in the bedroom, in the hallway. Some of you need to go home. You've heard some of this goofy stuff from guys on TV that were after your wallet. I'm not after your wallet. But I'm telling you, some of you, it's okay. Just because they did their goofy things and then told you, if you send me $57 in the next 10 minutes, God will give you a double. You can't double up on the portion that God has already given to us through Jesus. That's silliness. Don't send them money. Stop it. Seriously. The thing is, we can, though, take our pocketbook or our checking account and lay it down. Pastor Lee, why are you putting such an emphasis on that? Isn't it about the Lord and about, oh, really? So what are you doing the rest 6 days of your week? You're working 8-10 hours a week, sweating it out. Are we going to make the bills? Are we going to make the... I'm telling you, there's a place of rest. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings as eagles. The pressure will turn into a lift. Are you here today as we trust and relax in who He is? But somewhere we got to open up our mouth. Not at church. But on that Thursday, Monday. You with me? And begin to believe God. Listen, the Word of God works. I mean, if that's cliche to you, you're in trouble. I'm telling you this morning, the Word of God still works. And it stands forever settled. Put it to work. Cooperate with His Word and watch and see what He does. I'll take those seven amens. The Word of God works. 8. Do I hear a 9? Do I hear 9? Do I hear 9? Over here we got 9. We got a 9. We got a 10. 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9 and a half. 9 and a half. 9 and a half. Going, gone on 9. Okay. So here we go. These shall reign in life. Are you reigning? Or are you reacting? Today. Let's turn it around. You said, well, Pastor Lee, you said that a couple weeks ago, and I've been trying, it ain't working. What do you mean, trying? Are you testing God? Are you getting quiet and settling down and saying, I don't care what it looks like. It looks like hell right now. Feels like hell right now. But hell's not who I am or where I'm from or where I'm going. I'm a king's kid. I received by faith in the middle of this blast, hailstones hitting my windshield and everything, the pickup rocking like crazy. He said, let us go to the other side, and I don't care what it looks like. I can already see the other side on the inside, and it will be mine literally. Here shortly, just watch and see. How many love Jesus today?
Amen.
His Word works. And He is faithful to His Word. And he that believes doesn't get in a hurry. You ever met somebody who was always, always in a hurry? I love them, but they drive me crazy. Slow down. Smell the coffee. Smell the roses. Settle down. Stressed out. Freaked out. Is anything really that important? They're glad for Jesus today. How many are ready to start reigning? Start speaking God's word. You've talked about the problem enough. Faith is, write it down, faith is voice activated. Faith is voice activated. Open your mouth. Quit being stubborn. Open your mouth and start saying some things. I was blessed by Pat Bates' testimony. Pat, please forgive me. But I've had enough of looping with the doctors. Enough. He told the other day, his hand, he said, there's enough of this. God's word says this, and I'm going to have to trust God. And he was in a serious deal. He was coming to men's Bible study. I'm not kidding, and I'm not exaggerating. People were driving him to men's Bible study. He'd been to the May, he'd been everywhere you could think of, and they couldn't find anything wrong with him. And it was a serious bad thing. You know, and I don't understand it because he didn't come to our Bible school and he didn't graduate from it. How can that be? It takes faith like the grain of a mustard seed on the mouth of a believer who says, enough's enough. And it doesn't seem like always like it's going to happen right now. Remember last week, Jesus cursed a fig tree. But we have to. How many remember 2 Kings chapter 6 from last week? Are we the typical American who has such a short memory? And an impatient pace of life that last week seems like a year ago. We have no, what? Who? Elisha said, Lord, we're in the middle of an impossible situation, but I know you've spoken, and I know the outcome is sure, but help this sidekick of mine open his eyes so he can see the real reality. He thinks this is our reality. The enemy is surrounding us in overwhelming masses, but I have another reality that's more real than this one. Lord, open Gehazi's eyes so that he can see. And the Lord didn't open Elisha's. Elisha didn't need to see it. He knew it. He didn't say, not one time did it say that Elisha saw anything. Elisha said, I know this is true. Open his eyes. I don't need to see it. I know it's true. Open his eyes. And Gehazi's eyes opened up and he's like, whoa, there's more that be with us than be with them. Let's go. That's what faith is all about. Faith is not you trying to get that which is unreal to become real. That's where most of the church is trapped. Faith is learning to receive what is real into your little world by faith. For everything, the apostle said, by the Spirit of God, that pertains to life and godliness has already been freely given to us through the knowledge. I'm glad for Jesus today. Whew! That's my introduction. I bind the fainting spirit. Are you here this morning? I bind the fainting spirit. I bind that thing that creeps in and makes you sick in your gut and shake in the night. I bind. Listen, somebody in here needs to hear this. That which makes you grind your teeth with worry and you wake up and your jaws are sore and you got a headache. I bind that. Would you cooperate with me this morning and say, I reign in life. No more reacting. For he has promised it. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings. How many are glad for the message of faith? Let me give you a few quick reminders. Set this up for next week. Today, I believe that this is a quick little word. Most of you already heard this, so if you're, then I guess it's not for you. in this thing of faith, in this thing of reigning, your biggest battle for some of you in here is not focusing on failure. Focusing on the past. Focusing on where I blew it. In every stage of my life, as God showed me a new direction, I felt incapable, scared, many times missed the boat. How many know there isn't just one opportunity in Jesus? I said, how many are glad there's not just one opportunity, not one window of opportunity in life? And if you miss it, it's all over. I miss God's best. Hold on. He's not limited by that. And what is His best anyway? For you, right now, He'll get it to you. He's already provided it. He's just trying to help you change your thinking about how to receive it. Often when we get ready to launch in a whole new direction, no matter what it may be, in the kingdom of God, we find ourselves thinking about our inabilities. Are you here? And it begins to cause us to focus on our weaknesses. And this is a powerful tool, can be, used by the devil to shut you down before you even get started. Are you here today? Moses, I remember Moses. Moses fell prey to this very thing. You'll find this in Exodus 3. God asked him to lead. Some of you in here, you may be the only one. You're so focused in on your failures and what you haven't done right and where you've, that you don't realize that you may be the only one right there in that little circle of your family or in that setting that could just blow the doors off death and change a whole new direction. Some of you have let past failures as fathers cause you to have, you have a relationship, but there's not that depth of leadership in Jesus to help lead young sons and daughters in a whole new direction because you are plagued by your failure. I say it's time for you to rise above that, get your head out of the water and say no more. And I've got something to say. I've got somewhere to be. I'm no longer letting that rule me. Listen, some of them sons and daughters that you're worried about because of your past and your failures as a dad or a mother, they've lived long enough now that they innately know you did the best you could with what you knew. Or they also know that you were an absolute failure sop, but there's something different about you now. Don't let the devil intimidate you anymore. I'm always reminded as a preacher of what Brother Osteen said many years ago on the way to church. He said, everything going wrong. Finally getting the car on that big old station wagon. This is back when Brother Osteen's church was a little old church, about 120 members meeting in a tin roof and a feed barn in East Texas off the 630 loop. Been to it. Seen the old feed barn. Heading to church in their station wagon. He said, one thing would happen, the kids would get to cutting up. Can you imagine Joel Osteen cutting up? Yeah, I can. At any rate, cutting up in the back seat. After a while, he said, I'm yelling at the kids and reaching around, slapping, popping legs. And now Dodie's mad. Honey, what are you doing? You've got to preach and share. He said, and after a while, the kids are crying. Dodie's mad at me. We're arguing. We show up at church. Woo! That I'd stand up in the pulpit and the devil would say, ha, you hypocrite. You just screamed and yelled your whole way to church. The kids are upset and crying. Your wife is mad at you over teaching Sunday school. And you're going to stand up here? And he said, out of the inside of me, the Lord spoke through him and said, devil, I'm not here to preach John Osteen. I'm here to preach Jesus. He said, I'd watch as the anointing would come on that sermon like no other. In the middle of my failure, God was faithful and good. He said, now I had some work to do after church. I.e., Dodie, I was wrong. I am sorry. The 6 hardest words in the English language. Get some things straight. You can focus on your failures, or you can focus on the author and the finisher. Everybody say it with me today, finisher. A lot of you have been starting and starting and starting again for 30 years. He's the finisher. It's time to stand and say, no more, devil, no more in Jesus' name. We're calling shots. Moses, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? But God assured him, I will certainly be with you. The dreams and destinies God gives us usually make us ask what Moses did. Who am I? I hope that in this process, learning on faith, you find out who you are like never before. Pick your head up. He is the glory and the lifter of my head. You think that disaster is bigger than God? You think this end of what you thought was your security is bigger than God? Maybe for you to find the real purpose and fulfillment and joy, the thrill of life again, maybe you need to get rattled out of your situation so you can climb higher. How many know He is God's nature? Hebrews 11:6 says that we must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. His nature is He's a rewarder. When you dare to say, you know what? I trust you. No more. Your words coming out of my mouth. He is a rewarder. Say with me today, He is a rewarder. Come on, lift your hands up high, look heavenward, say, I trust you, Jesus. Come on, are you here today? I trust you, Jesus. Woo, my spirit's jumping right now, for it's crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Confident because of precious blood that was spilled. My way, my future is secure. From glory to glory, higher and higher. For the just shall live by faith. Parting shot, and I got to quit. Our inadequacies and past failures don't matter. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your spouse. Bump them hard. Say, our inadequacies and our past failures don't matter. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Bump them. Say, the past failures don't matter. A new day in Jesus. 2 points. Now we got to get out of here. Feed your brain the right stuff. Stay in the Word of God. Don't sit here and just listen to a cute message once a week. Climb in and find out what God's Word says about your situation. Get new pictures in here about where you're going from the Word of God and trust Him. For it is God. Philippians 2:13. Write this down. It is God who works in us. It is God. Some of you need to let that out of your mouth today. God is working in me. Come on, I reign. God is working in me. It is God who works in me, both to will and to do. There are times that I don't feel like it, but He in me even makes me want to. For it is God in me who causes me to will and to do of His good pleasure. This is why we're doing this. Take notes. Get the Word. I haven't given you a lot of Scripture this morning because this is a little different, but next week we're going to hit it. Faith. How many are ready to walk by faith? Amen. How many are ready to do some spiritual water walking?
Yes.
Come on, enough of us have been dog paddling long, stinking enough. I don't know about you, but dog paddling is no fun. Hallelujah. And the second one I've already said, so I don't even know why I'm repeating it. Know who you are and what you've got. And then faith just helps you call what already is yours into your now. We're going to learn more about faith. You ready?
Yes.
Right there where you're sitting, every head bowed, every eye closed, very briefly. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. Thank you for speaking into our lives, for encouraging us, but more than encouraging us, giving us weapons that cause us to rise above. Father, I thank you for boldness of speech. Come on, are you here today? Boldness of speech. That I will recognize that in the middle of the blinding storm of fear thoughts, I will be reminded of this message. And from the deep of who I am, the words will rise. I reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. No, you don't. Period. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, we are the victorious because of who you are. You receive that today? Let's stand to our feet and be dismissed.